What's up, y'all? This your girl Samantha, and this is my podcast, Naturalize. I'm excited to be shooting episode 2 of season 15. Don't mind the mess in the background. I am doing laundry, and I am trying to recoup before this new week starts. I have been making a lot of adjustments, trying to find my routine and find my balance in this new place that I'm in. And I'm sorry, y'all, my voice is still trying to bounce back, but I am just trying to find out what works for me in this season and trying to find my flow. And so that comes with trial and error. And so on Sundays, I have been just taking some time to do what I feel would make my week lighter. One of those things being shooting a podcast. I'm so sorry, y'all. Shooting a podcast while my kids are sleeping. And also releasing on Sundays as well. So you are seeing me shoot episode 2. And as soon as I get off of this, I will be dropping episode 1. So episode 2 won't be shooting until the following Sunday. But I'm in a season where God has given me a lot to be able to talk about. And so I've taken some moments and written down the things that God was bringing to my mind. And I was literally like, jot this down, jot that down, write this down, write that down. And so I have a lot of topics that I'm going to cover in this season. And if you watch episode 1, then you know we're kind of on this season where I'm talking about my marriage. Sorry, I'm trying to drink some water because I don't know what's going on with my voice for real. When the season start changing, my voice start getting a little crazy, but we here, and the devil thought he had me, and he didn't, period, okay? Because I'm going to still show up and show out. So we here with episode 2 of season 15, and y'all, when I say y'all, I'm so pumped. I was just telling my homegirl, Kayla. Shout out to Kayla, for real. That's my dog, okay? It's so pertinent to have you, somebody who is pursuing Christ wholeheartedly and understand what it is one will be going through and what one is aiming to try to achieve on this walk with God. Because if not, you're going to be barely making it. You have to have some people in your corner who can reel you in and keep you grounded in the season where you need to borrow some people's faith. And so shout out to Kayla. But I was just talking to Kayla the other day, and I was telling her how, you know, I was excited to be able to be doing this season, and how, that's my baby, how God is using my marriage in this season to talk about things that people don't want to talk about. People don't want to get up here and talk about their marriage being towed up. People don't want to get up here and talk about how they are in places that look crazy to other people who might not understand the assignment and the mission that they have been called to on at this time, you know, by God. And I was just telling her, you know, like, people need to hear this. Like, people, you don't hear Christians talking about the ugly side of this walk, for real. You don't. And so it takes people who God has equipped and who God has called and who can handle being in that light and in that forefront, to get up here and talk about those type of things, because it's so many people living the same thing that I'm going through, and it's going to take somebody like me to get up here and talk about it. And so if you watch season 1, do you know I'm in this season where I'm talking about my marriage and how it's not something I want anymore. How it was something that I've prayed for from God. I fasted for. I had to make sure, like, you know, God, I heard you say this was my husband. I'm trying to take the necessary steps to ensure that I'm not moving at my own pace. I'm moving at your pace. And so, you know, fasting and all this type of stuff and getting the green light to get married. And here I am almost 2 years in, and it's going crazy to the point where I want out, like, abort, abort, abort. And I am just trying to maintain this place that God has me in, because
it's a tough place to be in, especially when you know you heard God's voice in something. It didn't produce, and it's not producing what you would have liked for it to produce. Yet, God has not put you in a place completely to where you can walk away either. And so, I'm in this part of my life where I got to get up here and talk about this marriage that's going crazy, and that is, thankfully it's not a stressor anymore. By God's grace, it's not a stressor anymore. I have reached that part in that process to where the thing that was stressing me out before is no longer a stressor. This is now something, it's agitating, but it's not stressing. It's not stressful. And so I am here talking about my marriage because I know somebody else in this place where you've heard God say, this is my wife or this is my husband, but they're not producing the way I thought they would produce. And this marriage is not being fruitful the way I thought it was being it was going to be fruitful. And so I'm up here on this season where this is what we're talking about. And you can apply it in any, maybe not this episode, but some episodes are universal to where you can apply it to friendships and not just marriages. But this season, I can't say it's for the marriage. Like this is a marriage season. But even if you ain't married, I want you to listen because this is going to help equip you for marriage. Because sometimes all we hear is, oh, you need to do this to be a good wife. Or, oh, you need to do that to be a good husband. Or, oh, marriage is this. Or, oh, marriage is that. Baby, you got to go on the biblical principles of what marriage is defined as. Not opinionated scenarios or theories. Literally, is biblical stuff. So even if you're not married, but your goal is to be married, or you know, you're in a single season where you feel God is prepping you for marriage, or maybe you're engaged and you need some tips to maybe help you discern whether you heard from God or whether you heard from you, if you should pursue, you know, that route while you still have a chance out, okay? So I want you to tune in because you don't know what God will allow you to hear that might confirm some things for you. So this is a marriage thing that I'm shooting, but all ears are welcome, okay? And so I'm in season 15. This is episode 2. In episode 2, I want to talk about marriage is not a state of doing. Marriage is a state of being. And I know this is a thing that people get confused on because culture has allowed marriage to be aesthetically pleasing. People get married for a ring. People get married for this amazing wedding. People get married for whatever the case may be. But the baseline don't be God. The baseline don't be a state of being. It's a state of doing. Oh, I know I can do this. I know I can do that. I know I can be a good wife. I know I can be a good husband. It's a doing and not a state of being. And so I want to talk about it today because there's a lot of people out here confused on what marriage actually is, okay? And I have learned so much in such a short period of time, and it's because I've been committed to what God has been teaching me. So I know some people who have been married for 15 years could look at my podcast and say, well, she has only been married for almost 2 years. How can she tell me this, or how can she tell me that? The same way age ain't nothing but a number. The number of years is just, that's just numerical. That don't have nothing to do with wisdom or knowledge. Literally, it talks about in 2 Timothy, talking about don't let people deter you from your position and what God has called you to do because you're young. If you take heed to what God is teaching you in that season, you are literally downloading wisdom and knowledge in your bank. Like, you download it in your database, it's in your head, you'll be able to apply it. Just because somebody has a head start on you does not mean that it has more substance. Because people think numerical stuff means is substance. That's not what that means. You could be in a 15-year marriage and there's no substance there. There's no fruit. Versus somebody who's been married 2 years and committed to what God has been teaching them. And so it is very fruitful, and there's wisdom and knowledge that you may have that other people who have been there longer than you do not have. So that is why I'm able to give this message, because I have been committed to what God has been teaching me on my walk with Christ, but also in this assignment that I've been in for almost 2 years now. So just because somebody has more experience than you doesn't mean they have more wisdom and knowledge than you in that area. I can't help people got married before me. You know how people think because they older than you, they more wise than you. I can't help God decided for that to be your date of birth. I cannot help that. It don't got nothing to do with me. But if I've been committed to what God has been teaching me and understanding and learning and processing all that God has been doing with me, then I'm on my way. And I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I have what I need to be able to do what God has called me to do in this season. And this is this. So I want you to know, as I'm giving this marriage stuff, this is not because, oh, she don't know this or she don't know that. Yes, I do. And it don't take somebody 15 years to figure out what God is teaching you. Again, this is not opinionated. This is biblical. And people are so used to marriage being aesthetically pleasing. People are so used to marriage being a state of doing and not a state of being, that they finna learn some new stuff for real that they didn't even know was a thing because it wasn't taught, right? And so I'm here to let you know, marriage is not a state of doing, it is a state of being, okay? I know we get so wrapped up in, oh, I know I can do this, I can cook, I can clean, I can multitask, I can do this, I bring this to the table, that's a big thing. Oh, I bring that to the table. That we have been brainwashed and we have been conditioned to believe that because we can do something, that's what it takes to fulfill that assignment, and that's not how it works. And I've learned on this course of time that I've been here that it's not what you can do for somebody, because we get so wrapped up in doing that we become robots for real. We start doing routine things. We start becoming conditioned. We start existing in this norm to where we wake up every day at 7 o'clock. We do this at 9. We do this at 12. We do this at 3. To where it's so, we don't make room for God to do anything else with us because we are so conditioned to doing that thing. And we believe that because we can do something, that is what it takes to achieve the goal that particular objective. Let me reword that. It allows us to believe that the state of doing allows us to achieve the things that it takes in order for our marriage to be fruitful. And that's not it. And I've learned on this walk, and I've learned in this season of my life, that marriage is a state of being. People think that doing is what gets the marriage going, right? It gets it keeps it moving, because I'm doing what he needs me to do. I'm doing what she needs me to do. I'm doing what he needs me to do. And sometimes we miss God because sometimes we don't know what we need. We just think of things that we want. We say, oh, I want this, I want that. Whole time, you think you want that, but in reality, you might need this. And so because when you think about your own life, you say, God, I'm so thankful for the things that you didn't give me that I really thought I wanted. because instead you gave me what I needed, and I didn't know I needed it until I got it. And then I realized, dang, I thought I wanted this, but the whole time I really needed this, and I'm so thankful that God didn't give me what I wanted, that he gave me what I needed, because my life has been so enhanced by not what I wanted, but what I needed. And so we'll be doing things that people want us to do. Whole time, we're not doing what they need for us to do. And it goes back to removing our mind from believing that marriage is a state of doing. It is a state of being, which means, but before I get into why it's a state of being, you don't know who to be if you are not in tune with the Father. Because it goes back to, if he says, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that. And this is not all the time, right? This is not all the time. So sometimes your wants and what you need, you do know, but sometimes you don't. And so you could be talking to your spouse, and your spouse could be like, I need this, I want this, or whatever like that. So you start operating at that level. You start doing that. Whole time, it might not be, it might become a little overwhelming, because it might be changing you a little bit. It might be moving you in the wrong direction, to where now it feels like he wants me to do this, but it doesn't really benefit me. Because and it goes back to not everything will be pleasing to you that the other person needs. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is sometimes we'll be doing things for somebody else and it only produces an outcome that seems to be working for one other person, not in the benefit of both of us. So that's where it'd be like, okay, I know I'm doing this, but like, it ain't really benefiting me. Like, this ain't, I'm not seeing how this is helping us. It looks like it's just helping you. And so then you keep adapting to this person, what this person wants from you. You keep changing to meet this person wants. And so that becomes a form of idolatry. And I know we don't talk about that because it's, oh, well, I'm just submitting. You can't submit to a man if you don't submit to God. You can't submit to a woman if you don't submit to God. It goes back to the state of being. You can't be that person that person needs you to be, even if you don't have a relationship with God, because he is the one who teaches you who to be. Because if not, we would be moving off of our emotions and our feelings, which I told you in the last podcast, it's not biblical. We will be sitting here giving this person what they want, and they might not even be aware of what they really need. And so because I'm not checking in with the Father, I'm now changing who I am 50,000 times, because you got a different want every single day of the week. And so now I am looking to please you, and you are now a form of idolatry. And so you are now my God. And I know we don't be wanting to say that because it sounds so harsh, but that's how idolatry works. If you submit to something over what God tells you, that is a form of idolatry. And so I might be changing who I am to accommodate this person wants. And now I'm worshiping you in a way, because I'm giving you all these wants, and I just want it to work. I want my marriage to be this. I want my marriage to be that. So if that's what he wants from me, I got to do it. Whole time, that's just a want. They're not even aware of what they really need. So when you go back to checking in with God, God says, I know they're telling you that they want this, but I need you to be this, because they don't know their own needs. They just want in what they want. And so if you refrain from giving them what they want, but you commit to giving them what I tell you they need, You might not get the outcome that you're looking for, but in the long run, it'll produce what I know it'll produce, and it'll blow your mind, because if you commit to my will, it literally says in the Bible that God's plans are not to harm us, but to prosper us. If you commit to my will, this is going to prosper you in ways you don't see it yet. And it might be a little rocky. It might be a little rough because they want what they want and you ain't conforming to what they want. But if you keep seeking my face and you keep seeking my will and you keep falling at my feet and you keep casting your cares on me, I'm going to equip you to be who they need, not who they want. It might cause some confusion. It might cause a little clashing, but if you commit to being who I tell you to be, you'll be who they need. And they might not see it right away, but eventually they will. It might take them a little bit of time, but they'll get it. They'll see eventually. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it'll always work out and they see it, or they see it before it's too late. That's not what it's saying. But what it's saying is, they will eventually have the revelation of, God didn't give me what I wanted, because whole time that's not what I really wanted. He gave me what I needed. And if I would have taken heed to what I needed, I would have seen the goodness of God, because God's plans are not to harm me, but to prosper me. So you, marriage is a state of being. It's not a state of doing. And you're not going to be able to be who you need to be in that marriage if you're not in tune with who God has called you to be. You're going to start moving off of emotions. You're going to start moving off of what the other person says. You're going to start becoming this person again that they might not even want in the long run. Because if your want is this today and it changes tomorrow, you might not want 2 weeks from now what you wanted 2 weeks ago. And so marriage is a state of being. And when you are falling at Jesus' feet and you are saying, God, my marriage is in this state right now, this condition. I know this is what my husband is saying he wants me to be, but Father, I only want to be who you want me to be. So don't allow me to see his needs over your needs. Because God, I want to be who you've called me to be. God, I want to be who you are equipping me to be. I want to be in this marriage who you need me to be in this marriage. Because God, I have faith that if I commit to being who you have called me to be, I will see the goodness of you. And so it's a state of being. God will equip you as you continue to vocalize, God, I know my marriage is this. I know my marriage is that. It was some points in my marriage in this season where I was like, God, this man is asking me to do this, but my husband would say, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that. And I'm like, God ain't called me to do that. Sometimes my husband sees my gifts and my talents, and he thinks that because I am equipped to do those things, that is what I should be doing in this season. And that is not biblical. Just because God has given you gifts and talents does not mean he's using it in that season. And I would tell him, I am so in tune with God. I have been casting my cares on God, telling God, God, I want to do this. God, I want to do that. But I am patient to whatever it is you're doing in this season. So maybe I'm not going to be able to get to the things that I'm gifted and passionate about right now. But I have faith that, God, if I continue to be who you've called me to be in this season, it will lead me full circle to being back into being able to do those things. So my husband was saying, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And I say, well, God ain't calling me to do that in this season. And he didn't like that. He didn't like it because all he saw was my gifts and my talents. But he didn't understand, and he doesn't understand my obedience to being who God has called me to be in this season. And I don't want to be anybody else than who God has asked me to be in this season, because I've lived long enough without God, doing what I wanted to do without God, seeing enough outcomes without God to know that my mind is no stronger than God's. My will is no better than God's. So if I continue to seek my Father, and I continue to trust what he has me going, where he has me going, and what he has me doing in this season, that I will see the goodness of God. And it might not be in the way that you expect me to see it, but I trust what God is doing in my life so much that I don't have to rush God. I don't have to say, God, hey, you need to do this now. You need to do this now because my husband is asking me this. No, no. I kept saying, God, my husband, this is a worry for my husband, but it's not a worry for me because I know my track history with God. And when you know your track history with God, you will be able to be, you will be able to be confident and anchored where God has you, even if you don't like it. Because if I have done A, B, C, D, and E, why would I not be right here at F where God has positioned for me to be? If your track history is seeking God for all understanding and trusting his plans and being obedient to what he's called you to do, even if it's not been easy, but committed to being obedient, then, and that's your track history, why would I allow myself to believe that because I'm not in a season where I'm doing what I want to do, that that means I'm not where God has called me to be? You're not going to always be able to do what you want to do. You're going to have gifts and talents that God is going to start and stop. There's going to be some seasons where he give you the green light, but there's going to be other seasons where he give you a red light. He's going to say, I know you was having a good time doing that. I know you was having a blast. I know it was fruitful. I saw all the money it was making, but I need to pause that for this season because we're not doing that. You have to be, your mind has to be there. You have to be at that point with God to where you trust God stops as much as you trust his starts. And so my husband would see my gifts and talents and say, hey, you need to be doing this. And I say, well, God didn't call me to do that. And so I say, God, he keeps bringing this up. And I don't know how much more you want me to continue to say it. I don't know if I need to say it in English, French, or what. Like, God ain't called me to do that. And sometimes he would think I was using it to make it as an excuse. But I had to understand he didn't see it for me that way because his relationship with God is not, again, we got to call a thing a thing. I think we have gotten so accustomed to wanting our hand popped. We've gotten so accustomed with, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Especially when you realize you can be held up due to somebody else's unwillingness to serve God wholeheartedly and all the way in. You could be affected by that. No. The Bible talks about us judging people who are in Christ because we have a standard. People look at us and say, we already got enough people looking at us, making, you know, criticizing us and all of this and all of that. Oh, Christians this or Christians that. We already have this. We already have that. So we need to abide by the standard that God has set for us, which is to constantly be more like Jesus every single day. We'll never get to be like Jesus, but we can aim to be like him because Jesus is so perfect. We'll never be perfect, but we can continue to aim to please him, to be better than we were yesterday. And so we have this standard. And so, yes, we got to be calling a thing because if I'm doing something wrong, I would hope my sister Kayla or anybody else who's pursuing God wholeheartedly would correct me and say, hey, we better than that. I know your flesh want to do that, but we can't do that. Because when you realize your life can be tied up due to somebody else's unwillingness, hence why it's so important that you submit to the call that God has on your life. Because there's people who's waiting to be delivered through your testimonies, through your process, through what God has asked you to do. So yes, you have to be okay being corrected and us calling a thing a thing. So my husband doesn't understand my level of faith because his level of faith is not there yet. It's not there. And it's not there because you have to commit to doing the work. You have to be obedient to surrendering your will completely. You can't hold on to this side but let that side go. You have to let go. And I've let go and I've let God, and he has complete control of my life. And so my husband doesn't understand that because he clings to certain areas of his life to where, oh, I can't let that go. No, I gotta make sure this is right. I might not be 90% in control, but God, I got 20% in control and I can't let my 20 go. So when I say these things, sometimes it was registered in his mind as an excuse. Oh, she just doesn't want to do it. Oh, she just doesn't want to do that. She doesn't want to pursue that because maybe it requires a lot of work or it requires a lot of effort. It looked to him as if I was making excuses, but I knew that's not what I was doing. I had ran everything by God because the thing about it is, I am nobody can be more eager. Nobody. Nobody is more eager for God to allow me to become who he has created me to become more than me. Baby, I'm so ready to be fully in purpose to where I'm able to maintain what I need to maintain, to where I'm able to bless other people, to where I'm able to get my friends to places that they desire to be, to where I am aiming to preach the gospel all over the world, to where my clothing brand is worldwide and in stores and all of that. Baby, I am ready, okay? Nobody is more ready for me than I am. Hence why I'm so committed to being who God has called me to be and serving my seasons 10 toes down, even when they hard, because I am so ready to get there. So if I have conformed to the will of what God is asking me to do in this season, trust me, I ain't making no excuses, baby, because I'm eager to get on my way as well. I'm eager to be who God has called me to be. I have no reason to make any excuses. I've come so far. I've literally been called out of nursing. God told me to quit nursing and don't go back. That was my bread. That was my bread. That was my livelihood. That was a guarantee. That was definitely A, B, C, D, and E, okay? Like, that was all of that. I've let all of that go. So nobody is more eager than for me to become who I know God is calling me to become more than me. I am working so hard, serving these seasons so diligently that I'm ready to become who God has called me to be. So being that I keep saying that, he saw my willingness to stay where God had placed me as an excuse. But it wasn't because it was me. It was because he himself is not there with God. So he doesn't understand why I am responding the way that I am responding. So that goes to show you that a lot of things don't be you. Okay? A lot of things on this walk with Christ, it literally talks about in the Bible how we don't fight against the flesh. We fight against, you know, the spirit and the principalities and the darkness and evil and all that good stuff. It don't be you. It be an underlying issue that the other person themselves have. So his faith in God to that level or degree have not been established yet. So when I say it, it's unfamiliar to him. So he responds in a cultural way. And because I don't operate culturally, we clash. And so, and I love my husband, don't get me wrong, but I don't love him more than I love God to uproot myself from where God has called me to be. And so I'm going to remain in this place, even if my husband doesn't like it. I'm going to remain here because I've worked too hard to get where I am, to forfeit what God has already in transit for me to receive. And so again, it goes back to, I'm not giving my husband what he wants, but I'm giving my husband what he needs. He's seeing my faith to remain where God has asked me to remain, even though it has not produced tangibly or in the flesh what I know it's going to produce in a later season. And he needs to see that so that he can get that for himself. Right now, he wants me to be operating in my gifts and talents. He wants me to do this and he wants me to do that. But again, because I have sought the Lord, I'm not doing. It's not a state of doing. I'm not doing what my husband wants. I'm being, a state of being, who my husband needs. My husband needs to understand the true level of faith that it takes to get here so that he can apply it for himself, so that he can reach and obtain everything that God has set forth for him to reach and obtain. So it goes back to being in a state of being, not doing. And although my husband wants me to do this, I have sought my Father, and I have committed to being who God has asked me to be. And it's the total opposite of what my husband wants. And so we're clashing. And for that, it's not working. So we're pulling again in two different ways because our foundation is not the same. You have to be rooted in Christ. And if my husband, I told my husband this before, if you were so worried about me being outside of God's will or me not operating in the things that you feel I should be taking full advantage of, have you sought the Lord yourself for my behalf? Have you went to the Father and said, God, I hear my wife, I'm telling my wife she needs to do this. I hear what she's saying. It's not what I want to hear. It doesn't seem to be a legitimate excuse or whatever. I need some clarity. When you bring that to God, being that we are a unit and we married, God would give you exactly what he's giving me, because his goal is for us to be unified. His goal is for us to move at the same pace. His goal is for us to move together. So if you took it to the Lord and you asked the Lord on my behalf what it is that he's doing with me, he would give you the very same things that he's given me. And so the things that you're frustrated with me about, you wouldn't be frustrated with me about, because you would say, I took that to God and God told me that he's doing something different than what I want her to do for me in this season. He's doing something different. And because I know that the Lord's plans is not to harm me, but to prosper me, I have no choice but to trust the process that he has my wife on. Because if her best interest is our marriage and us and her seeking the Father, then I have to believe that she's committed to being and doing what God has called her in this season. And although I don't see what I am looking for right now, does not mean it's not going to roll around in another season. It is a state of being, not a state of doing. And I also want you to know that, because you have to be committed to being who God calls you to be in every level, in every degree of that marriage. Who are you going to be when this man decides, the thing I thought I was passionate about, I'm not passionate about, and God has told me that the thing I'm passionate about is not even really my purpose, so I need to go in this level of direction, and so maybe I need to go back to school for 6 years. Which means I'm not going to be able to work like that. So you're going to have to be the breadwinner. Are you going to be able to be who God has called you to be for that assignment and for that season that your husband is about to embark on? Because if that's his word from God, then I need to go back to the Father so that the Father can tell me who I need to be in this season to meet that benchmark that I need to meet so that my husband thrives in the season that God has called him to thrive in. And for him to be able to operate fully at his greatest advantage in the season that God has him in. Because I think we think, you hear a lot in culture, thank you Holy Spirit, because sometimes this podcast be feeling like, the enemy be trying to make me feel like it be all over the place, but then when I rewatch it at the end, it be like, yeah, you were spot on, because the enemy be trying to get in my head like that. People think marriage is 50-50. You hear this 50-50 talk all the time in culture. Oh, 50-50, or you need to bring to the table. You need to bring this to the table. You need to bring that to the table. Or you should be able to do what you're asking somebody else to do, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something in marriage, baby. 50-50 is not a thing. That is not a thing. It's not. That is not a thing. I always use the analogy of a seesaw. Of a scale. The scale totals out at 50, at 100, right? Because 50 and 50, there's two people. Two divided into 100 is 50. So you have two 50s. The total is, you're now, you took your 50, my 50, we 100 now. There is no more 50-50. 50-50 is, you should have married somebody with 25 and you brought 25. Now y'all scale totals out at 50. That's 50-50. 50-50 is not when the scale balances out at 100. And if you're doing 50-50, you're probably with somebody who God ain't called you to be with. Because the analogy of 50-50 is not true. You are 50, he is 50. Together we are 100. We are now unified. We are one, which means our balance beam is 100. Which means in some seasons, whatever that season is defined as in our marriage, whether, for instance, let's just say, the scenario I just gave you, my husband, let's just say my husband wanted to go back to school, and it's going to be a duration to where he can't work the job that he was working before, making the money that he was making, so now I have to be the breadwinner. This might be a season to where he's only able to do 20% of the work. I'm going to have to do 80%. That rules out the analogy of 50-50 right there. Because let's say I'm 80 because I'm pulling majority of the finances, which means financially I'm doing more. I'm going without sleep more because more is on my body. He might have 20 because he's school. He might be handling dinner at home. And he might be taking care of the kids more than what I'm taking care of the kids, because my job would require me to be away a little bit more, right? So I'm pulling 80 in this season and he's pulling 20. But when my husband is finished doing what he's doing, we would then assess that season that we're in, and God might open a door for him to be making twice as much as he's making right now, which means financially, the things will shift. So I had 80-20 in one season. He now has, he might have 90 and I might have 10. Just depending on what we got going on. The balance is always 100. How it's distributed is always different based off of the season that you are in. There is never 50-50. If it's 50-50, you're literally with somebody who is half equipped, and you yourself is half equipped. Because you should come to the marriage and in the marriage already whole, knowing that you could commit to the things that you are asking for somebody else to commit to, which means that is not saying, oh, you should be, if I'm making six figures, you need to be making six figures. If I'm doing this, you need to be doing this. That is a state of doing. That's that mentality of doing. Being is what you need to bring 50-50 for. You need to come whole. You need to come being who somebody else might need you to be. You need to come saying, I need my husband to be this, I need my husband to be that, but understanding that your husband is going to have things that he needs you to be as well. So if I am asking my husband to be these ways for me and these things for me, I also must be willing to be who he needs me to be and be what he needs me to be. We get so selfish. We get so selfish and we get so wrapped up in our own wants and needs. It'd be like, oh, I need a man and he need to do this and he need to do that. Are you going to be able to be the very same thing that he needs if that's what he needs? Same with men. Oh, I need her to do this. I need her to do that. Are you going to be able to be what she needs when she needs it? It is not a state of doing. It is a state of being. So when you come 50-50, when you bring your 50 and he brings his 50, that is saying I'm able to be what I need. I'm able to be who I'm asking you to be for me if you need it in return. You see, you know how some people they could call and ask you for a favor, but you can't call and ask them for a favor. No, you have to be in a marriage to where if I need you to be this person, You need to be willing to be this person. It might not ever even come to a point to where it be utilized. But you have to have that mentality to where if it does, I'm able to be that. It is not a state of doing. It is a state of being. And you have to be willing to do that. So 50-50, that is not a thing. If you are on a 50-50 scale, that means you're 25 and that other person is 25, which means you are half equipped. You are half equipped and you're with somebody who is half equipped, which means it's going to be twice as hard. It's going to be twice as hard. You have to come 50-50, put it together, because now it's 100. And how it's distributed will be based upon the season that you are in. And another thing that I think a lot of us have to go back to is the Bible and what the Bible defines as marriage. Because just because my marriage looks one way, doesn't mean your marriage is going to look exactly the same. We take the same principles that God has given us and we apply it to our marriage, but it's going to produce differently. That's just like me and somebody else having the same calling. We might have the same calling to be up here ministering the word on a podcast. But how we got there is two different routes. We got to the same destination, but we took two different roads to get there. You know how you put in your GPS that, hey, I'm going to the mall, this specific mall. The route that you're going to take from your house to the mall is going to be different than the route I take to my house to the mall, but we both going to end up at the mall. It is the same thing. How we got there is different. And so I think we have gotten so conditioned culturally to believing that marriage should look like this and marriage should look like that. No, it's not. Marriage is going to look different for each and every one of us because God is doing something different in everybody's marriage. It's different. Mine is tore the heck up right now. Mine is tore the heck up right now because if it won't tore up, y'all wouldn't be getting this podcast. And y'all need to hear this because marriage is not aesthetically pleasing. It's not. And so mine had to be tore up so that I could deliver the message and so that I could get it and understand as well. Because I can't give you something that I don't live. And so culture has allowed us to believe that marriage is supposed to look the same all across the board. Oh, your marriage is supposed to look like this. Your marriage is supposed to look like that. No, you take the biblical foundation and the biblical principles that is being taught in the Bible when it comes to marriage. Go look them up. What it says a wife is supposed to be, what it says a husband is supposed to be. Those are the biblical principles that each of us is supposed to apply to our life. But what it will produce is different than what somebody else's marriage would produce. It's different. It goes back to a state of being, not a state of doing. When we start trying to do what other people do in their marriage, it don't work in our marriage because God ain't doing the same thing in everybody's marriage that he is in somebody else's. Your marriage is going to look different. But if you apply the biblical principles to your marriage, it will be fruitful. It will produce. And so it goes back to marriage is not a state of doing, it's a state of being. But you are not going to know what to be and how to be it if you are not in consistent relationship with the Father. You will be operating based off of wants, mood, emotions, what you feel, all of these type of things. And it won't produce. And so you have to be okay being who God asks you to be in a season that he's asking you to be, even if it causes conflict in your marriage. My marriage, again, is toe up right now because we don't have the same baseline. We don't have the same foundation. Yes, God, my husband serves God and my husband loves God and my husband fears God. He is a godly man. But there's levels to this. It's levels to this. You don't come in. I got saved 3 years ago. I should not be the same person that I was 3 years ago as I am today. It literally is a Bible verse in there that says, some of y'all should be teaching. Some of y'all should not be needing to be taught what you're being taught right now. You should already know it. Some of y'all should be on solids. Instead, you're still on milk. Some of y'all should be eating solid food. So it's saying some of y'all should be further along than you really are. And some of y'all should be in God this. That is what I'm saying when I talk about what my husband got going on. He's a godly man, don't get me wrong. But he has to surrender certain areas of his life that has caused a block in him experiencing God at a deeper depth. So, again, I'm not being what he wants me to be and it's causing conflict, but I know I am being who God has called me to be in this season and in my marriage. Because my goal is to be an amazing wife. Because I honor my father. Not because I just honor my husband. It goes back to the state of being. Your being has to be God. Not things. Because once it becomes things and titles, that is idolatry. Because if God took it away from you, then who are you? If that marriage is not operating at its highest frequency as what you're used to, then who are you? You don't know because that's all you know. But if your foundation is always God, God can come and get it anytime, and you still know who you are and whose you are, and you can know what God is still doing with you. And your life might hurt, but your life won't be wrecked. And some of y'all are falling apart because you idolize these things. Your God is not your God. Yeah, you love God, but he might not come first like you think. And so some of y'all's lives are being wrecked when God starts taking things from you because that was not, that was your God. The thing he's taking was your God. And so it goes back to marriage is not a state of doing, it's a state of being. And you don't really know it's a state of being until God asks you to be somebody you don't want to be in that season that he's asking you to be. I didn't want to be patient with my husband. This has been going on for a good minute. And this man is stubborn. And I'm like, dang, you still ain't got it yet. Like, dang, I'm having to keep ministering the same things that I know God has given me. And it's God is saying, keep telling him. I'm like, God, he not listening. How many more times do you want me to tell him? I remember even saying, God, how far does grace go? Grace about ran out. And God had to humble me real quick. And he said, whoa. My grace is sufficient, and my grace don't never run out with you. So for you to think grace don't run out if I'm telling you to extend it. Don't confuse me when I say grace is not run out, because sometimes grace can become a form of manipulation. Because just because you've graced somebody to say, hey, I know they don't always get it right, I'm going to notify them and let them know, hey, you're doing something that I don't like. Some people are committed to constantly doing things that you don't like, which means the grace that you extended has now become a form of manipulation. So grace does run out. But I was using it in a different context or whatever. And so God had to humble me because he was like, whoa, my grace with you ain't ran out. And you was abusing my grace way before you got saved. Like, I let you play on my top for a long time. So, and my grace with you ain't never ran out. So when grace run out, I'll let you know. So it goes back to, who are you going to be? And are you committed to being who God has asked you to be for this marriage when you don't want to do it? And some people don't, they I'm out. Oh, I don't want to do that. Because it goes back to doing. When you look at marriage as a state of doing, when that marriage no longer suits you, you don't want to do it no more. People do things that they want to do until they don't want to do it no more. Hence why when people go to these jobs, they say, yeah, I wanted to work here. I don't want to work here no more. I'm going to quit. Oh, you know, I need a vacation. I'm going to go do that. Culture has taught us to move based off of doing. It's to operate in a state of doing, not a state of being. Hence why people's character is not developed at the rate that it should be developing, because they're doing and not being. So you don't know if you can be who God has asked you to be until you're in a season where he asks you to be something that you don't want to be, because the other side is not taking heed or appreciating and clinging to who God has asked you to be. Instead, it's causing issue and conflict. So you don't know if you have a state, if you can operate in a state of being until God has asked you to be something that you don't want to be. You don't want to be patient when somebody is constantly getting it wrong. You don't want to be nice when somebody is constantly being mean. You don't want to be, you know, slow to speak and quick to listen when somebody's talking crazy. You don't want to do those things. You want to act in your flesh. But when God is saying, hey, I know what you might want to do, but I need you to be this, that's when you're going to see what you're going to do versus what you're going to be. And marriage is not a state of doing. It's a state of being. And if more people would commit to God's to commit to God and let him teach them who to be in that season and in their marriage will be producing more fruit than what it's producing right now. Because again, marriages ain't aesthetically pleasing. We so used to presenting things one way, but living life another way. Oh, my marriage is this, my marriage that. Oh, why you going through crazy stuff behind closed doors? Crazy stuff. Instead of just saying, my marriage is this, my marriage is that. It ain't the best. I'm praying God turn it around, or God, I'm praying God deliver me from it. Whatever the case may be. We have to come to this forefront and to this level where we trust God and where we okay talking about where we are being who we have to be in that moment. Instead of making it look like, oh, it's this or it's that. Again, state of doing. Okay? So, I just want you to know that marriage is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. You have to deny your flesh. You have to deny what you want to do, how you want to do it. You have to Oh, y'all. No, the ambulance, I think. I heard. Oh, I'm about to say, what is that? It's an ambulance. At first, I thought it was my baby. But you have to... I lost my train of thought. But all in all, marriage is not... It's a state of being. It's not a state of doing. And marriage is a sacrifice. It's not aesthetically pleasing. You're going to have to be somebody you don't want to be. You're going to have to do this when you don't want to do it. You're going to have to extend grace when you feel like grace is running out. It's a lot. But if you conform to the will of God, God will get you through it every step of the way. Even when the season is good and when the season is rocky. Trust God's plans for you and trust the process that he has you on. And trust and believe that even when you don't see what God is doing in this season, all in all, in the end, the full revelation will come about and you will see the goodness of God. And so I'm happy to get up here and share what my marriage is going through in hopes that somebody else who might be in a tough spot can see the light at the end of the tunnel in their marriage. Or maybe somebody is in a marriage where God is asking them to stay put and you want everything other than that. I can relate. And you needed something and somebody to let you know that you're not alone. Or maybe somebody is engaged and embarking on a soon-to-be marital journey and you needed a word from God to help you reassess some things that maybe you thought you wanted to do that you might not now want to do after hearing this message. Because maybe you realize that you're not with somebody who is 50 and you 50 and your balance beam will be 100. So maybe you're with somebody to where the balance might be 50 and you've decided that that's not something I want to commit to because I want my balance beam to be 100 because that means it'll operate at its full capacity. Or maybe you're in this season where you're single and you're trusting God's plans for your life and trusting that God is equipping you to be this amazing wife that you know you have the capability of being. I'm just praying for anybody whose goal is marriage. I want you to know that marriage is such a beautiful thing, but it is such a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing, but it is also such a job and an assignment that you have to take serious because it goes back to what I said in the beginning. When you are one, both parties are involved and you don't want to be held up by somebody's unwillingness to commit to God in a way that you are willing to commit. But when you trust God's plans, understand and believe that God has the power to turn anybody around. It does not matter if people are being who they are right now, doing what they want to do. God will literally speak it and it will come to fruition, and the things that you saw before will be something you no longer see. So trust and believe that just because you're somewhere where it's a little difficult right now, don't believe that it'll always be like this. Just have faith that you're on the process, doing what God needs you to do in this season. And eventually you will see the goodness of God and you will see the revelation come to fruition in its entirety. So my message today was to remind you that marriage is not a state of doing, it is a state of being. It's not what you can do, it's who you can be. And you will not be able to be who God has asked you to be for anybody else if you are not committed to being who God has asked you to be for Him. So I love you so much, and I'm so eager and excited to continue to have talks like this with you in the episodes to come. This is Season 15, Episode 2. And this is your girl, Samantha. And this is my podcast, Naturalized. Until next time, be you, Black girl.